Shalom Aleichem. Hilchos Sefer Torah. I apologize. I just finished giving a shiur on the Seder HaParshas and the Tefillin for the alumni. Yeah, the first din is that the Tefillin, the Sefer Torah, has to be written on parchment from a behemoth tahira. The Gemara learns that out from the pasuk Lamantia Teres Hashem Beficha Min Amuta Beficha. You may not use hide of an elephant or a horse or a donkey because that's a behemoth tameya. But the Gemara says if it's a behemoth or it's a kosher animal that happens to be an avela or trefa, that is acceptable. I remember many years ago, maybe 60 years ago, something like that, a Gera Rebbe passed away. Whoever was the Gera Rebbe, I don't remember already. So they published in the Israeli newspapers and the magazine, they published different stories about this Gera Rebbe. So one of the stories was that once a Gera Chassid was a Sofer, and he came to the Rebbe and he was telling him that he's Machmer, Mahadrin, when he writes a Torah Tefillin and Mezuzah, he only uses Or Behemoth Tahira from Glat Kosher. If it turns out to be Nevelo, Trefa, or even if it's a question of a Trefa, they had to peel off the Sircha, it's not Glat, he won't use it. He only uses from an animal that's Glat Kosher. So the Rebbe told him he thinks that that's not a valid hidur. He thinks that the davke he should use from a nevela or a trefa. If you have a kosher geshacht and a behemah and people clean it, so that animal has its tikkun. It's brought into Avodas HaKodesh because Jewish people will eat the glat kosher meat and will give them the strength to daven and to do mitzvahs and to learn Torah. But the nebach, the kosher animals that didn't have a proper shechita, the nevela or a trefa, so they don't have a tikkun. So the tikkun that they can have is that their hide will be used for writing Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah. I thought that was an interesting insight. So the din is yes.
It's not min hamuta b'ficha, though, if it's not muta to eat, though, no?
No. So the Gemara says, nevela trefa is good. It has to be a min behema Torah. If it's the right min, it's good. Yeah. So that's the first din. You can't write a Sefer Torah on paper. It has to be dafka on parchment. And parchment has to be from or behema Torah. And then Dio, is Alocha Moshe Messina, Dio. What's Alocha Moshe Messina? So the Rambam seems to hold Dio just means it should be black. However you make it black is good. And the Balei HaTosis say, no, that has to be oil colors. You have to have gumi. You have to have some kind of oil in it. That's the question. Do the letters of the Sefer Torah, can they fall off? If you use oil ink that has oil in it, then after a while, the letters can fall off of the Sefer Torah. But if you don't use oil, everything is just absorbed in the parchment. So then the letters can never break off. So lechatchila, we're machma for the Balei HaTosis, for sure, that you use dafke with gemi. Yeah. Usually, you write a Sefer Torah on many different yerias, and you stitch them all together. So the Gemara has a din in Makkos, if Sefer Torah is Tofroi, the Pishton is Pasul. If you sew it together with a linen thread, it's going to be Pasul. It's Halach L'Moshe Messina. It has to be Nitva B'Gidei Behema Tahira. How much of the Sefer Torah has to be Tofur? So there's a very questionable Taz in Yerideya. There's a question of Mechaber. Mechaber writes in Yerideya, as long as it's, let's say you have four or five stitches, even though it's not Ruba Kukula, Roiv of the cloth is not Tofur to the next cloth. Usually the areas are attached to each other. You stitch it from an inch. You don't start at the very edge. You start about an inch in, you finish an inch before the end. And the whole thing is tofer kulo arubai. So what if it's only tofer a little bit? So the Mechaber writes that it's good. And the Taz disagrees. The Taz says he thinks that it has to be tofer rubai. I remember once I was out of town, many years ago, I was out of town for Simchas Torah. And I davened in the yeshiva there, happened to be in London. And I davened in Schneider's yeshiva. I think it no longer exists. It's closed down already. It was yeshiva during the war. Schneider's yeshiva. Moshe Schneider had a yeshiva. Yeshiva was in Germany, and then it moved to England. So for Simchas Torah, in order that everyone should get an aliyah, So every group took another Sefer Torah. They went to a different room and they were laying in every room. So they wanted this Sefer Torah that they took was just, they were laying from Zayis HaBracha. So we're mamish at the end. So one Yeriya was attached to it. They never used this Sefer Torah to lay in all year long because it was just holding by a thread. It was holding with the Gidi, Behema Tahira, to the next area, but it wasn't Tofa Rubai at all. So they were going to lay. So I said, I'd rather not take an aliyah. I think it's questionable. The Taz holds out the whole Sefer Torah is puzzle. So they didn't lay in from that Sefer Torah. And we went to a different minyan. And then they thanked me for coming there. I saved them from saying a bracha levatola. They thanked me. They never heard of that Taz because the Mechaber is Mekal on that. Yeah. What's the din? The ksav of the Sefer Torah has to be ksav ashuris. What do you mean ksav ashuris? So the Gemara says in the second parak in Sanhedrin that originally the Sefer Torah in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu till the days of Ezra, who came back from Golus Bavel at the end of the 7 years of Golus Bavel, so they used ksav libayno, a different alphabet, a different alabes. When Ezra came back, he used ksav ashuris, ksav shali mohem ashur. It's the ksav, the script, the dalet base alphabet that he brought back from Golus Bavel. How can you change this? A Rishonim ask. That's what we assume. How can you change the ksav of the Sefer Torah? The Rambam has 13 ikori hamuna. So one of them is Zatar Lasi Mechlefes Lasi Tarachas Meis Habayri Yis Baruch Shmai. The laws of the Torah are immutable. How can you change the ksav of the Sefer Torah? So the Rishonim in the beginning of Megillah talk about this, because the Gemara says the beginning of Megillah, what's with the final letters? Mem, Nun, Sarik, Pei, Chof have two forms of the letter. When it's in the middle of the word, it's the Tzadik is written one way. When it's at the end of the word, Chof, Sofis, or Tzadik, Sofis, and Mem, Sofis is written differently. So the Gemara has a shaila, was that Halach and Moshe Mitzinai, or did they change it? So the Gemara, how can they change it? He can't change any of the dinim in the Torah. That's where the Rambam got that ikar from, from the first daf from the second daf in Megillah, and daf Gimel and Megillah. You can't change any of the dinim in the Torah. So the Rishonim says, how can they change the whole ksav of the Sefer Torah? So they say because the Gemara there in the second perek in Sanhedrin learns it out from a pasuk. It says when the Melech is appointed, how do you translate Mishnah HaTorah? So Pasha Pshat is Milosh and Sheni. He has to write a second copy of the Sefer Torah. Every Jew has an obligation, a mitzvah, to write Kisvah Lachem HaSashira HaZois. Everyone has an obligation to write one Sefer Torah. And the Melech has an obligation to write a second copy of the Sefer Torah. He has to be a small Sefer Torah, has to take it with him all the time, and he has to always learn from it. That's what the Rambam quotes. The Melech has an obligation to carry this little Sefer Torah with him all the time, and to learn a little bit every day and every night from his Sefer Torah. So the Pashup Shat Mishnah HaTorah Azayis. Mishnah means a Sefer Torah Sheini. So the Gemara has another level of interpretation on the word Pshuto Shal Mikra, is not like this. This is an additional level of interpretation. Mishnah means Miloshen Shinui, Ksab She'asid Lehishtanois. So then Moshe Rabbeinu told Bnei Yisrael the tradition that the Ksab is going to change. So that's not considered changing the mitzvah. Moshe Rabbeinu was told it's going to change. So that was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. Ein Novi Rishalach Harish Dov Me'ato. The Gemara quotes on the first daf in Megillah, the Gemara quotes the concluding pasuk either in Chumash VaYikra, the concluding pasuk in Chumash BaMidbar, which are practically almost identical, a slight difference. The Nitziv explains what changed, why it's slightly different. But the both psukim imply the same thing, that no Novi after Moshe Rabbeinu has a right to change any of the dinim in the Torah. But whatever Moshe Rabbeinu said is going to change, so that you change. You're not changing for what Moshe Rabbeinu said. Take, for example, the Gemara says in Yevamos, the first stuff in Perika Oral, that from the days of Avram Avinu till the days of Yeshua ben Nun, when the Jewish people fulfilled the mitzvah milah, there are two membranes covering over the orla. So the outer membrane is a thick skin, and the lower membrane is a thin membrane. So till the days of Yeshua ben Nun, you only had to do milah. You didn't have to do priya. And then from the days of Yeshua ben Nun, it says, Shu malas b'nei Yisrael shenis. They had to do a second bris milah on everybody. How can you do a second bris milah if the person has a bris milah? There's nothing to cut. It's gone already. So the Gemara says, no, cut till the days of Yeshua ben Nun, till the days of Gilgal, when they crossed over the Yarden, they only had to cut off the Or HaOlah. They didn't have to cut off the Or HaPriya. So that changed. So Tosfos said, how do they believe Yeshua ben Nun? He's making up a new din that Moshe Rabbeinu never said. They should have given him the death penalty on Novi Asheker. They shouldn't believe him. So they said, no, must have been Allah and Moshe Messina. Moshe Rabbeinu must have told them that the din, the day will come when the din will change. Right now the din is he just do Milo. And the day will come that a Novi will come and he'll tell you that now it's time to do Priya. So that was Yeshua ben Nun and Gilgal. He said, Shum Aliz Menei Sol Shenis. You have the same thing regarding Birchas Hamazon. The Beis Yosef quotes the Ramban that when the mon, it's based on the Gemara, when the mon came down on the midbar, so they made bread out of it, so they only said, Moshe Rabbeinu composed the first brach, Hazanas HaKol. When Yeshua ben Nun conquered Eretz Yisrael, so then he composed the second brach, Noda Lecho, Al Shinchat Al Abasein, Eretz Chem De Toi V'Rachava. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us Eretz Yisrael. When they, because the Torah says, "V'chalta v'sota v'achdas Hashem alakecha," you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the fact that He gave you food. Then al ha'aretz, the fact that He gave you Eretz Yisrael. So after they got Eretz Yisrael, after they conquered Eretz Yisrael in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, then Yeshua ben Nun composed the second bracha. Then it says al ha'aretz ha'toiva. What does ha'toiva mean? Ha'or ha'toiv hazeh is a reference to Yerushalayim. So Yerushalayim has a double status. It's officially the capital of Eretz Yisrael. Even before the American Congress approved it, Pidin Yerushalayim is the capital of Eretz Yisrael. Number two, it's the Mokam HaMikdash. So David HaMelech, after he was a Melech in Hebron, I think for 7 years, then he became a Melech in Yerushalayim for 33 years, if I'm not mistaken. So when he moved his castle to Yerushalayim, so he composed the third bracha because he established Yerushalayim as the capital. But he only compares that part of the third bracha, thank you for giving us Yerushalayim as the capital. He wasn't allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash. He wanted very much. Every time he was victorious in battle, he would always be Magdish. He would always give Kedusha to all of the precious metal that he had acquired, the silver and the gold and the copper and so on. Then when he finally wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash, so the Navi told me, you're not allowed to. Dam Rab Shafachta, you're going to have a son who's going to be an Ish Shalom, Shlom HaMelech, going to be a peaceful person, and the Beis HaMikdash has to be a Mokam Shalom. And that's Atu Shalom HaMokam HaZeh, Pasuk regarding the Beis HaMikdash. So when Shlom HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, so he added the second half of the third bracha. You have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only over the fact that he gave us Yerushalayim as the capital of Eretz Yisrael, the political capital of the political entity of Medinas Yisrael. We have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the fact that he gave us Yerushalayim as the makam of the Beis HaMikdash. So that bracha was composed, that's on the level of deraisa. Teva meitav is lav deraisa. But the first three brachas are deraisa and the dinim changed. That's what the Beis Yosef quotes from the Ramban. But it's really a beferish gemara. This was all, Moshe Rabbeinu said all of this. In the midbar, they have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us the man, but the bread that we made from the man. And then when we will conquer Eretz Yisrael, we'll have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us Eretz Yisrael. And when we will establish Yerushalayim as the capital of Eretz Yisrael, we'll have to add that on, thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us Yerushalayim as the makam of the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah, so the same over here. The Rambam writes, there's still one mitzvah that's going to be changed in the future. That's how many Ori Miklot. Now, for many years, there were only three Ori Miklot in Eber Yard and three in Eretz Yisrael. And the three in Eber Yard only began to be koleit when Yeshua ben Nun designated the three in Eretz Yisrael. Asid lover, ki arche ha-Hashem al-kechaz gevulcha v'yasabta lecha od shalosh olim, od shalosh orim ala shalosh ha-ele. They have to add on another three Ori Miklot to make nine, some total nine. It does mean that there'll be more people killing b'shoigeg in the daily Mos HaMashiach. It means Eretz Yisrael has to have hospitals and fire departments and police. It should never be needed. The hospital should be empty, but you have to have everything just in case. So you have to have Ori Miklot to show that's the way a Medina is supposed to be, with a lot of Ori Miklot, yeah. This Ksav Ashuris that we use for the Sefer Torah, so that was changed, that's how we assume. In the early generations, they wrote Ksav Livonor, and Ksav Ashuris was at the end of the Golas, 7 years of Golas Bavel, when they came back, So Ezra changed the ksav of the Sefer Torah. The Gemara has a lashon, Roy Hoya Ezra Shetinos and Torah al Yadoi. Ezra should have really been the one to receive the Torah min Hashemayim, but Moshe Rabbeinu chapped the mice. Moshe Rabbeinu already got the Torah way before. So at least Ezra Sefer changed the ksav. Yeah. There's another change that's questionable also, that HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim, that the months don't have names, they have numbers. And the Chodesh Nisan is the Chodesh Arishin. And now we call all the Shmos Chodeshim Halu Yimoha Mibavol, the Ramban on Parshas Boy. On that Pasuk, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim, Ramban quotes the Yerushalmi like that. That when they came back from the Golas Bavol, they gave names to the months. So that's a question. Rabbi Yosef Alba wrote the Sefer HaYikarim, and he writes, you see from the fact that they changed from the system of having a Chodesh Arish and a Chodesh HaSheni, we don't have it any longer. We go with Shmos Chodoshim, with the names of the months. So you see that Dini HaTorah can be changed. So he disagrees with the Rambam Zikar. Rambam has the 13 Ikorim, so Rabbi Yosef Alba thinks there are only 3 Ikorim, and this one he doesn't agree at all. He thinks that you can change the Dinim and the Torah. But the Ramban HaChumash explains why that's not considered a change. The Ezra understood that the nature of the mitzvah, Chodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim, is to incorporate a zechet to the geula into the luach. So Nisan was a Chodesh HaGeula, so that's why that's a Chodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim, that's the Chodesh HaRishon. And and Ezra understood that included in the parsha is you have to make a zechet to the geula from Golas Bavel also into the Luach. So he understood that Shmos Chodosh Me'al Imam Bavel is a chelik of that mitzvah. Anyway, the Ksav of the Sefer Torah changed. That's a shayla. Ksav of the Sefer Torah changed. Some of the Mefarshim, I think the Ritva in the beginning of Megillah, some of the Mefarshim quote this Ritva. He says that the Luchas were always in Ksav Ashuris. So this is, others point out that it's against the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi seems to say beferish not so, that even the Luchas were also Ksav Libanu as the other alphabet that they found on the Hammurabi stones. A totally different alphabet.
Is it true that the Rambam couldn't accept the fact that the Ksav of the Sefer Torah was changed? Is that true?
I'm not familiar. That's the Maskanas HaGemar. It's a Machlokes HaTanoim. And the Maskan of the Gemar is that the Ksav was changed. Yeah. Don't know. The Ramah in the end of Hilchas Sefer Torah quotes an old minigas from the days of the Rimigash. Maybe it's the Rimigash was the Rebbe of the Rambam's father. Rimigash was a Talmud of the Rif. The Rif lived in Morocco till the age of 75. And then at the age of 75, there was some accusation against him, that is Mar ben Malcha, so they wanted to put him in prison for some ridiculous fake story, fake news. So he ran away to Spain. He ran away to Spain, and he started a second career. And he died at the age of 90. So all the Talmidim, all the famous Talmidim of the Rif were from the second career that he started only at the age of 75. Life begins at the age of 75. So the Rimigash is one of the most prominent students of the Rif that was in Spain, not in Morocco. That was in Spain. So this, we already have this minute from the days of the Rimagash, and maybe it rooted earlier, that you only reserve Ksav Ashuris for Sefer Torah. You don't use Ksav Ashuris for Dibrei Chol. So what does that mean? So the Chasam Sefer is quoted that his practice would be when he would send out wedding invitations, he felt that's a Dvar Mitzvah, the people should attend the wedding, a Suras Mitzvah. So he would have a Sefer, they wouldn't have someone print up a wedding invitation, it was too expensive. So he would have a Sefer write wedding invitations in Ksav Ashuris. The Ramah, on the other hand, was Makbid, the Ramah's Chubis were always printed in Rashi script. The first time it was printed in block letters was during my lifetime. One of the teachers that I had in college was Rabbi Ziv, Rabbi Osho Ziv. He was a classmate of my father, maybe a roommate of my father's in the dormitory. And Rabbi Osho Ziv was the first one to print the Chuvas Ramo with footnotes, very nice. He got a Prasa Rav Kook for putting out his edition of Chuvas Ramo. So that was the first time that the Chuvas Ramo was printed in block letters instead of Rashi script. But the Ramo himself in the Chuvas writes why he was makbid Bedavka, not to print it, that it should not be printed in block letters. He says, because some of the block letters are practically identical with the Ksav Ashuris letters, and we only use Ksav Ashuris for Tanakh, only for Sefer Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim. You don't even use it for Svarim of Shailas HaTshuvas. So there are more, really, Rabbi Ziv, he got the Pras Rav Kook for printing his edition, but he violated the Ramo's wishes. Ramo himself wanted that it should only be printed in Rashi script. I remember when I got married, so my father-in-law was a Talmud Chacham, so he had four daughters. So he had a right. Usually the girl's family is in charge of writing the wedding invitation. So all the four wedding invitations were sent out in Rashi script. They weren't written in block letters. Because the Ramo says you shouldn't use black letters.
Rebbe accidentally muted himself.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, so when did you not hear what I said? You heard what I said now?
We heard about the wedding invitations.
Okay. So my father-in-law married off four daughters. He had four daughters and one son. So when he was in charge of writing the invitations for the four daughters, he printed it in Rashi script as opposed to block letters, because that's he considered that dibricho, like the Ramah. Ramah was makben not even to print his shadus of chuvus in block letters.
Yeah. Rabbi, so what does Rabbi Halacha advise for people to write in their wedding invitations with it? Ktav Ashurut or black letters?
Mazel tov, this young man just got engaged. Zivik Shabir, wonderful. It's an idea to write in Rashi script, okay. But you certainly I don't know. Look, the Chassam Sofer did use Ksav Ashuris. The Rama holds it's not right to send out a wedding invitation in Ksav Ashuris.
Look. Yeah, I saw that some posting nowadays that there's a more snippet also to be made, because like the printing nowadays, the way it's done is very different than handwriting. So maybe that would be a snip also to be more makeup in terms of Geniza also, no?
Why do you need Geniza?
I'm saying that's a bit like their psukim.
Yeah, that's
like half psukim that everything.
No, that Rabbi Moshe Feinstein writes based on the Gemara, that's not right. To put psukim without an invitation, a lot of people are going to throw it out in the garbage. So that's not right. The Gemara says one of the Amim Tovim and Megillas Tainis was instituted when they discontinued writing Shem Hashem in the Shtoris. They used to write how many years since so-and-so was appointed Kohen Gadol. They would end up, Hu Kohen L'Kel Elyon. They would write Shem Hashem in the Shtar. So when the Loiva would pay up the Shtar, they would take the Shtar, rip it up, and throw it in the garbage. So Shem Shemayim would be thrown in the garbage. So Moshe Feinstein says that just like you're not allowed, it's not proper to write Shem Shamayim in a shtar, so too it's not proper to put psukim in a wedding invitation, because most people are going to throw it in the garbage after they finish using the invitation. So it's not right to throw psukim away. So the ksav has to be ksav ashuris. Fine. What exactly is ksav ashuris? So they're famous. If you look in Encyclopedia Talmudit on the Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dal, every letter, so they have basically, there are three different types of script. There's Ksav Bes Yosef, and Ksav Ari, and Ksav Velish. And there are slight differences between them. The Ksav Velish, that's the real Svardim. Ksav Velish has, the shin has a flat bar on the bottom. And Ksav Bes Yosef, and Ksav Ari, the shin comes to a point on the bottom. And the Mishnah Brura quotes the Prima Godim that if you write a shin with a flat bar on the bottom, he didn't have Ksav Elish. He had only Ksav Bes Yosef and Ksav Ari. So if you write with a flat bar on the bottom, could be that it'll be posel. Could be it's ma'akev. You have to write that because you come to a point. There are some major differences between the tzaddik and the Ksav Ari and the Ksav Bes Yosef. So usually the Hasidim use Ksav Ari and the Mistagdim use the Ksav Bes Yosef. The quote from the Chazon Ish that he was mistopic to say that maybe for one who's not a chassid, if you're going to wear tefillin, a mezuzah, that's written in Ksav Ari, it could be that it's possible. So they asked him, but what do you mean? In Europe, all the biggest Talmid Chacham, the biggest Tzaddikim would take an Aliyah, even if they'd be in a Chassidish Shul, where the Sefer Torah is written in Ksavari. So the Chazal Zanish said, yeah, that's because of a Svek Sveka. That the Rambam and the Tshuva writes that for the purposes of Kriyas HaTorah, you don't need that the Sefer Torah should be kosher. Even if it's a puzzle, the Sefer Torah can also learn. You can aim with brachas from printed Chumash, according to the Tshuvas HaRambam. And the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam writes not so. So the Kes Mishnah quotes the Tshuvas HaRashbo, who points out there's a contradiction between the Tshuvas HaRambam and the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah. So the Rashba says the Rambam apparently changed his mind. The Tshuva was written earlier that he held that for the purpose of Kriyas HaTorah, you don't require a kosher Sefer Torah. And in the Mishnah Torah, which he wrote later, he changed his mind. And he thinks that that you do need a kosher Sefer Torah to fulfill the mitzvah on Kriyas HaTorah. But b'di'eved, let's say if you're laying up a hefer sedra, you're in Hamishi or Shishi or something, and you realize that the Sefer Torah is puzzle. So the common practice is you take out another Sefer Torah to continue, but you don't lay over what you laying there already. But the Evid, we rely on the Tshuvas HaRambam. That's what the Beisosi quotes from his Rebbe, from the Mari Beiraf. So the Chazani said, to lay in Kriyas HaTorah from a Sefer Torah, that's Ksav Ari, that's like a Svek Svek. Maybe on the one hand, you can lay in Kriyas HaTorah from a printed chumash. Maybe you don't even need a kosher Sefer Torah. And even if you do, maybe Ksav Ari is kosher. He only said B'Torah Sofik, not B'Torah Svadeh. So for Kriyas HaTorah, not so makbid about it because it's sort of a Svek Svek. But for Tefillin Mezuzah, if it's not the correct Ksav Ashuras, then you're not Yotze the Mitzvah. No one says that you can be Yotze Tefillin Mezuzah without the Ksav Ashuras. Just the question, which is the correct form of Ksav Ashuras? Yeah, what's the din? What's the din? Usually when you have a Sefer Torah, you have many areas, and each area has several amudim on one area. What's the din if you wrote the whole Sefer Torah, such tiny letters, all on one area? The whole Sefer Torah was written on one area. Would it be kosher? So it never happened in the history of the world. It's highly improbable that someone's going to do like that. But that's a shot. So Rav Soloveitchik had an original interpretation. The Gemara says when you go Hagbah and you pick up the Sefer Torah, so you have to hold the Sefer Torah with the Tefirah in the middle. So Rashi and Megillah gives a whole explanation why. In case it'll tear, so it'll tear by the Tefirah. So you'll be able to sew it back together. But if you're going to hold the Sefer Torah not where the Tefirah is, and then it's going to tear. So it's going to tear in the middle of the klaf. So that'll be a tragedy. So Rashi has that this idea, you should, when you do Hagbah, you should hold it by the Tefirah, is for technical reasons, in case it's going to tear. Rav Soloveitchik suggested, maybe it's al pi din. Maybe the din is that if you write the whole Sefer Torah on one area, it's not kosher. So you have to show that the Sefer Torah is kosher. So you demonstrate that there are two areas that are sewn together. So you showed all the parts of the Sefer Torah. One of the Halacha requires one of the parts of the Sefer Torah has to be the Tefirah. That was the suggestion. The Gemara in Gitna, Daf Memhei Amud Beis, has a famous din. Then Chumash Dvarim, that's a Gemara in the beginning of Yevamos, and Chumash Dvarim Darshan Smuchim. If you have one pasuk next to the other, and Kol HaTorah Kula, Bereishis through Bamidbar, you only Darshan Hekesh, if you have two dinim written in the same pasuk. But if you have two dinim written and two adjacent psukim, most of the Tanoim hold that it's not from the Midrash HaTorah and Rashi's Bam Smuchim, and except for Chumash Dvarim. And the Gemara has a whole explanation why. So in Chumash Dvarim, there are many, 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 many famous dinim that are based on Smuchim. One of the many famous dinim is the whole Perikei Lein Aloikin, who gets Malkus, one who violates an Avera. That's similar to Losachsim Shor B'disha, because the two psukim are one next to the other in Chumash Dvarim. So the whole Perikele and Aloikin discusses when is it called Dumi the Lab the Chasima, when is it sufficiently similar to La Sachs Mshabidishe, when is it similar. So here also the two Psukan Kriyashmak, Shartam Losal Yadecha, and the next Pasuk is Chsav Tom Al Mezuzas Beisecha Bisharecha. So Gemara has a din in Gitna Memhem and Beis, Mishyeshna Bikshira Yeshna Biksiva. So women, Oktana before Bar Mitzvah or Nochri, or not mechuyev in wearing tefillin, so they're not kosher to write a Sefer Torah. So a woman cannot write a Sefer Torah. So usually the minhag olam is that when you, there's a mitzvah ksiva Sefer Torah. So usually only the wealthy people can afford to write a Sefer Torah. The poor people cost a fortune of money. How can you afford to write a Sefer Torah? So there's a machlokes and achrenim. Can you be yotze in the mitzvah Sefer Torah b'shutfus? A group of people gathered together. So every 50 years in Europe, every community, where everyone would give a dollar, they'd put all the money together, they would commission a Sefer to write a Sefer Torah. So we assume that you can be yotze in the mitzvah k'siva Sefer Torah b'shutfus, everybody together, yeah? This was a big machlokes because the Gemara in Chulin discusses which mitzvahs can be fulfilled b'shutfus and which not. If you own Lulaban and Esrog, the first 2 days of Sukkot in each Shalachem, so the Gemara says in Yesh Nechlin, if the Lulaban and Esrog, the father died, and it goes Birusha to the children, so if the Lulaban and the Esrog is owned B'shutfus, you're not Yotze. It has to be Shalachem. One person has to own it. So the Gemara discusses when does the Din say that you can be Yotze B'shutfus, when not. So the Gemara has part of the Klal is, it's not the whole Klal, part of the Klal is, when the Torah writes the mitzvahs, they're written b'loshen yochid or b'loshen rabim. If it's written b'loshen rabim, that means that you can't fulfill a mitzvah b'shutfus. Olakachtem lachem happens to be written in plural, and still you're not yotze. So that's a discussion. How come? How come you're not yotze if it's on b'shutfus? But that's the klal that the Gemara gives. The Gemara, the mitzvah of k'siva sefer Torah says, kisvo lachem asashir hazois. Kisvo lachem, that each individual person has an obligation to write a Sefer Torah. So that's what some Achrayim write, that since it's written in the Chumash, B'loshem Rabbim, so one can fulfill a mitzvah, Ksiva Sefer Torah, B'shutfus. If everybody in the community chips in a dollar, so every 50 years, everyone would get together and they would give a dollar. And during your lifetime, either when you were just bar mitzvah or later in life, you would always participate in a Ksiva Sefer Torah. Others at the time, and not only do we not know how to darshan sukkah, we don't even know how to apply the Gemara's klal, even though the Gemara has the klal. Whenever the mitzvah is written, chumash b'loshen rabim, it implies that you can fulfill a mitzvah b'shutfus. Whenever it's written b'loshen yochid, you can. So this Ridi Esh quotes this whole discussion. He has a tshuva in his chelik yeridah, can you be yotze k'siva sefer Torah b'shutfus? He quotes the machlok as the pischa tshuva, and yeridah quotes the machlok. So that's a shaila. So whenever a wealthy person commissions a sefer to write a sefer Torah, so usually they leave out letters at the end, and he's mechaber different people to go b'shutfus with him. So he paid for 99.99% of the sefer Torah, and then the last couple of psukim, the last column. So he allows other people to fill in a letter, and without the letters that they write, the Sefer Torah wouldn't be kosher. So everybody's yotze d'ksiva Sefer Torah b'shutfus. So the women used to feel bad that they're excluded. The women can't allow the women to participate in writing a Sefer Torah. That's what the Gemara says. So the women, some communities, they developed the minig. The women know how to sew, how to stitch. So you have to do tefirah on the areas of the Sefer Torah. So there would be mechaber the women that they should stitch the areas together. You have to stitch it with gidim. They're not used to doing that. Gidim beheima Torah. You can't use tofra bepishtan. It's no good. The Gemara Makkah says it has to be begidim. So that was the meaning. So the Pischa Tshuva and Yerideh is fantastic. Pischa Tshuva we have on Yerideh and on Chayshim Mishpat and Eben Ezer. I'll take a four page tshuva of the Chassam Sofer and quote only the two lines that are most relevant. He gives him mamish the tamtzis in two or three lines of many, many tshuvas like that. He's fantastic. So whenever the Pischa Tshuva has some, it's always quotations. Once in a while he has a long aricha, so he puts it in a footnote on the bottom of the page. It's called Nachlas Tzvi. It has a long footnote in Hilchas Sefer Torah about this practice that they had in some communities, that the women would stitch together the Sefer Torah. He said, that's questionable. You should do away with that minig, because some of the Rishonim hold beferish that women are not only possible for writing, k'shartim, k'shartim, k'siva, women are possible for any tikkun of the tefillah, of the tefillin, or the Sefer Torah. They make a mental for the Sefer Torah, that's not relevant to the hechsher. Sefer Torah would be kosher even if the mental is made by a non-Jew. There's no dinim in how to make a mentalah, but that the Sefer Torah has to be stitched together, that's a real din. or that the batim have to be stitched together. That's a real din. You need the tefira. So it's not right that we should allow the women to do the tefira either. The Shagas Aryeh raises an issue, and the Minchas Chinuch picks up on it. All the Sefer Torah are questionable if they're kosher or not, because patsua daka, there are two spellings, whether patsua daka is spelled dalet chof hei or dalet chof aleph. So there are two traditions there. So half of the Sefer Torah in the world are puzzle. So how is anybody yotze the mitzvah of ksiva Sefer Torah? So the Shagas Aryeh raises the issue. How can you learn Kriyas HaTorah? Every Sefer Torah is a Safik Kosher, Safik Pasul. Maybe Tzuadaka is spelled incorrectly. So the Minchas Chinuch has a fantastic Chiddush Ladina to answer this question. He says, if you have a tradition, then there's a Kriya Ksiv. So the Gemara says in the Doran Daf Lamed Ches, that's Halacha Moshe Mesinai. It has to be written one way, you have to pronounce it. When you learn Kriya Sato, you have to pronounce it differently. But if you don't have a Kriya Ksiv, you have a word, Tzuadaka. And there, in the dictionary, there are two correct spellings. Putsua daka, dalet chafei is Hebrew. Dalet chafalaf, I think, is Aramaic. They're both correct spellings. Which one is correct according to the Masorah? So that we're not sure. But it's not an incorrect. If you're going to spell putsua daka, dalet kufei, that for sure is possible. Say if there is possible, because that's an incorrect spelling. But if you sell dalet chafalaf or dalet chafei, they're both correct based on a dictionary. It's just one is according to the Masorah, it's correct. The other one is not correct according to the Masorah. So the Minchas Chinuch has a Chiddush that doesn't pass al b'dieved. If a word, if you're going to spell in Yiddish, they say a person wrote the word Noyach with seven mistakes. He wrote a final nun instead of a nun. Noyach, a final nun, vav, yud, noy, aleph, and a small chaf. Instead of a ches, and at the end of the word, you don't light the small chaf, you write a longer chaf, a final chaf. So you can sell the word noyach with seven mistakes. So if you have the word in the Sefer Torah noyach with a mistake, it's written incorrectly, incorrect in the Sefer Torah is puzzle. Well, let's say you'll say, you wrote the Aharon, Aleph Hei Resh Nun, you wrote Mole in Eretz Yisrael in the newspapers. They always write everything Mole because they don't have Nekudas. So they always put in extra vavs in order that you should know how to read the word. So if you write Aharon Mole instead of Chassid, so the Minchas Chinuch has a Chiddush, it wouldn't pass all the Sefer Torah. At the first available opportunity, you should correct it. You shouldn't leave it spelled not according to the Masorah, but you can't say it to Sefer Torah puzzle because the word Aharon was spelled correctly. It's not incorrect. That's a suffix that the Poskim have within this Minchas Chinuch. If you assume La Halacha like the Minchas Chinuch, that as long as you spell the word correctly based on the dictionary spelling, even though it's not correct according to the Masorah, Masoretic text, the Sefer Torah will be kosher. So what about the word Na'aro? Most of the time, Na'aro in Tanakh is spelled Nun Ayin Reish, and once in a long while spelled Nun Ayin Reish Hey. So it doesn't mean there are two correct ways to spell Na'aro, or should we say no, that it's a Kri Ksiv. It's spelled Nun Ayin Reish, that's the Kri, that's the Ksiv, and you pronounce it Na'aro. If it's the Kriya Ksiv, then the Minchas Chinuch says also it's puzzle. Kriya Ksiv is Halacha Moshe Mesinai, and if you wrote it the way it's supposed to be the Kri, the Sefer Torah will be puzzle. So that's a suffix. Once, if you assume, like the Minchas Chinuch, that Petzua Daka doesn't puzzle because either way is a correct spelling based on the dictionary. So what's about if the word is Na'aro, but it's supposed to be spelled Nunai Reish, and it's supposed to be pronounced Nunai Reish? Is that a Kriya Ksiv where the Minchas Chinuch would say puzzle, because you're not allowed to write the ksiv according to the Kri, or would he say no, the two correct spellings of the word Na'aro? That's a suffix that the later poskim have. Yeah, here and there we have, the Gemara has it, then you have to put a psucha, a stuma, Shulchan Aruch, they tell you how to write a psucha, a stuma. If you put a stuma instead of a psucha instead of a stuma, it passes b'dieved. Or let's say shira sayam, oz yosher, shira sazina, has to be written like a shira. If it's written like the rest of the Sefer Torah, or you wrote the rest of the Sefer Torah like a Shira, so that passels b'dieved. That passels b'dieved. When they first started writing the Chumash Megillus on Klaf, after the Vilna Goyim was Makbid, he said, it's not right. They should lay the Megillus just like Megillus Esther. We lay from a Klaf. The others, you should say, Abrocha, Mikra, Megillah, and lay from a Klaf, and the same thing, all the Haftarahs. So when they first started doing that, so they wrote Koheles on a klav. So they wrote Es Ledabed Es Lachshus, all the different itim there in that perek in Koheles. So they wrote it in two columns. So then people had a taina. There is no such tradition that is supposed to be written in the printed Chumashim and printed Tanakhs. They printed it in two columns. But we don't have such a masar that is supposed to be written in two columns. So you wrote it like a shira. So then it passes even medieval. So what did you gain by writing Koheles on a klaf? It's like reading from a printed Tanakh. Because the way they wrote it, Pasos Beriyev. So at that time, Rabbi Yosel Slutsky wrote a whole tshuva, and they followed what he said. He pointed out there's a Beferish Gemara that says that din, if you wrote anything in the Sefer Torah like a Shira, you wrote the Shira like a prose, at Pasos Beriyev, that only applies to the Sefer Torah and Megillas Esther. It doesn't apply to the other Sifri HaTanach. See, even if the Eis Ledabev Eis Lachshos, Eis Lintoyev Eis Lachar, and so on, even if it's not supposed to be written like a Shira, but if you wrote it by like a Shira, since it's neither Megillas Esther nor Sefer Torah, it would not passel b'dievet. And then they pointed out that in the Aleppo Codex, which is supposed to be the oldest copy of an authentic Tanakh, it is written on two different columns. So apparently there was such a tradition. It's not that it's not just that the printers decided to print Es Ledabe Es Lachshos on two different columns. There was such an old masar. So maybe that's the correct way to write it. Yeah, in between Bereshis and Shmos, in between Shmos and Vayikra, so on, you have to have four blank lines. That's also Ma'akeh B'dievet. And then the Gemara has a machlokes. We paskin that there are seven Svarim, they're not Chamishul Chum Shetara, it's really seven, based on the Pasuk in Mishle, Chochmas Bonsa Besa, Chotzva Amudeh HaShiva, the seven pillars of the Torah, of the Chochmah. So what are the seven Chumashim? You can't even use the word Chumash. What are the seven Svarim in Torah Smosha? When we say there are 24 Svarim in the Kisra Kodesh, we're assuming that Chamishul Chum Shetara, they really, it's not 24 Svarim, it's really 26, because the Chamishul Chum Shetara is really seven. What are the additional two Svarim in the Chamisha Chumashe Torah? So we pass on like the Tana that Bamidbar is three different Svarim. From the beginning of Bamidbar till Bahimit Sohar, Bahimit Sohar and Meduchayam, those two psukim constitute a Sefer Bifnei Atzma, and from the end of Meduchayam till the end of Bamidbar is the third Sefer. So Bamidbar counts as three different Svarim, so those are the two extra Svarim, yeah. So you don't have four blank lines in between maybe so Bahimit Sohar and so on, but you have Nunim Hafuchim. So that's supposed to indicate. How do you know that you're paskin like that? Because the Mishnayos say, if you count up how many letters there are, and these two psukim, Vayimit Sohar and Avinuchayim, are the 85 letters, Pei Oisius. The Gemara has a din, the smallest Sefer in Tanakh has to have, is these two psukim, and it has 85 Oisius. So if you have a Sefer Yirmiyah, and everything is rubbed out except for 85 letters, it still has a Kedushas Kisvi HaKodesh, and it's still Metamis HaYadayim. But if it has less than Pei Oisius, then it's not Metamis HaYadayim. The smallest Sefer is Vayimit Sohar and Avinuch HaYoyma. Yeah, the last pasuk in Shira Sayam is a question, which is the last pasuk? Hashem Yimlach Liyolam Vod. What about, what's the pasuk right after that? Kivos. Kivos is Parah Berichbo, Farosha Bayam, etc. So that's a big shaila. Was that part of the Shira Sayam? Or the Chumash is giving a historical footnote. This was recited, Kibos is Par Berich, but when that happened, or were they singing this in the Shira? So that's a machlokes, the Mefarsh Machumash, the Ben Ezra and the Ramban. The Vilna Gaon thinks that that's not part of the Shira Sayam. And it should not be written like a Shira. It should be written like a straight line. I think now they don't write like the Vilna Gaon. They do write it like a Shira. That's a question. There's a question that can possibly be the evidence. If you write in a Sefer Torah, if you wrote something, should have been a Shira, shouldn't have been, then it passes be the evidence. Yeah, the Gemara has a din, Malam HaKadosh V'lo Maridin. We're going to stop in a second. Okay, Malam HaKadosh V'lo Maridin. You're not allowed to convert a Shalrosh into a Shalyad, but you are permitted to convert a Shalyad into a Shalrosh, because a Shalrosh has a slightly higher level of Kedusha than Shalyad. Why? Things have a level of Kedusha depending how many psukim they have from the Chumash written there. So the Sefer Torah has many more psukim than Tefillin. Tefillin has more psukim than a mezuzah. And Shal Rosh has more letters in it, then Shal Yad. Why? Because the Shal Rosh has the Dalet Parsha is plus the Shin. The two Shins on the Bayu Shal Rosh has more. So the Gemara has a Chiddush. It's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch that if you made a Shal Rosh but you didn't wear it yet, so it doesn't yet have the higher level of Kedusha Shal Rosh over the Shal Yad. Because Hazman Allah Milsahi, even though you designated it to use it as a Shal Rosh, it doesn't yet have the level of Kedusha Shal Rosh. So then there's no violation of Maridin if you decide to convert it into a Shal Yad. So the Nadi Yehuda had a Chiddush. If you wrote a Sefer Torah and you didn't lane from it yet, and it doesn't yet have the Kedusha of a Sefer Torah, so there won't be a violation of Maridin if you'll cut it up and you cut out Shema B'Hayoyim Shamaya and you'll use it for Tefillin. It's not a violation of Maridin. If I already lane from the Sefer Torah, then it has a Kedusha Sefer Torah. Kedusha Sefer Torah is a higher level of Kedusha than the Tefillin and the Mezuzah. So then you're not allowed to lower the level of Kedusha to Mezuzah, from Sefer Torah to Mezuzah, from Sefer Torah to Tefillin. But if you didn't lane in the Sefer Torah yet, then it doesn't yet, it's only Hazman Allah Milsi, it doesn't yet have the Kedusha Sefer Torah. So there was a big Talmid Chacham in Skokie Yeshiva eighty years ago, Rav Chaim Korb, and he wrote from the Nesivos Chaim. So he doesn't agree with the Nadi Yehuda. He quotes and he doesn't agree. He said, not the same. Tefillin Shal Yad and Shal Rosh is basically the same Dalet Parshias. The whole difference only comes in when you wear the Shal Rosh on your head, then it gets the higher level of Tefillin Shal Rosh. Kozman, you didn't wear it. It's only Hazman Alam Nilsi. But if you wrote a Sefer Torah, Sefer Torah is a Sefer Torah, even if you never lain in it. It already has Kedusha Sefer Torah. So he disagreed. Rav Soloveitchik said it over. He thought that it was correct. He thought that that Nadi Behuda was very difficult. This week's Sedra is a question. The Ramo has a minig that there are six places. You usually write, every column starts with a Vav based on the expression Vavehu Amudim. Vavehu Amudim was the hooks on top of the Amudim and the Mishkan to hold up the Urias. But there was a minig that they have all the Sefer Torah, every column starts with a Vav. It's not Ma'akev. Sometimes it's not recommended to do like that because you're going to squeeze words in. But the way now, they know how to write Sefer Torah. They have everything worked out already, so everything is good. So there are six exceptions to the rule. So Bereshis has to start on the top of the column. You don't start with a Vav, Ubereish. You start with a base. So the another five places, we start on the top of the column. And it's because Shemo. Base Yud Hey Shin Mem Vav. So the base Yud Hey, the Yud is the question of Aichi. Is it Yehuda or is it Yoducha? Yehuda Ata Yoducha Achecha. If it's Yehuda, so then it starts on the top of the column, Yehuda. If it's Yoducha, then Yehuda is a Psucha before Yehuda. So then the last line on the previous column is only going to have eight letters. Yehuda Ato, Yud Hey Vav Dalet Hey Aleph Tav Hey is only eight letters. And a line has to have a minimum of nine letters. So if you hold that the last line on the previous column should be Yehuda Ato, and the next column begins with Yoducha, so you're obviously assuming that because Shmo is Ma'akev B'Dieved, because the nine letters is Ma'akev B'Dieved. And here you're violating the nine letters. So that's very questionable. So that's why I think my impression is the common practice is that you don't start the top column with Yoducha. You start with Yehuda. Yehuda Ata Yoducha Achecha. Because this, because Shmo, this is only minig. It's not Ma'akev B'Dieved. Okay, I apologize for starting late. There's a lot more to discuss in Hilchas Sefer Torah, but the time doesn't permit. Okay, Belineta, what's on for tomorrow? I forgot already.
Hilchas Geiros, Rabbi.
Hilchas Geiros, okay. Good. We'll get together tomorrow, Belineta.